Hey there. How are you today? My name's Dana Demara. You have landed on Soul Medicine. I want to just offer up a few administrative items before we begin our deep dive into this podcast. And first of all, I want to say thank you for being here. I'm so grateful. So first, for you yogis out there, always thank you for joining me. Because you are a loyal listener and you're interested in yoga, meditation, breath work, and sound healing, I'm offering you a gift just for listening. I've been at this practice of yoga for over 2 decades now, and in 2020, I created my own portal of full healing modalities. I would love for you to try it out for 2 weeks on me. Yes, on me. Just go to danademarayoga.com. Put in your email address and you receive instant access to live virtual classes and a library of over 300 recorded classes of days gone by. This is my gift for you. Thank you. Those of you interested in astrology, if you go to myastrocast.com, you'll get a mini speed course on astrology. This little course will give you a general overview of astrology. However, if you thirst for more, every week I host a podcast on YouTube all about the weekly astrological outlook. It's free, and if you subscribe on YouTube, the update will come right to you. Just look for me on YouTube. You can't miss it. One more thing I think you may want to know. I do update my website often. I do my best, and I send out newsletters weekly. Sometimes more than once a week. So if that's your jam, go to my website and subscribe to my newsletters. Just go to danademara.com, put in your email address in the little pop-up there, and you'll get emails from me. Now here's the deal about emails. You're going to get emails. If something doesn't resonate, just delete it. But don't unsubscribe. Okay? I do want to say this about my website, though. It still is very static info, right? So if you are an Instagram person and you want daily musings, free meditations, early morning practices, find me on Instagram at Dana Demara Evolution. It's also my Facebook handle. However, I don't really post very much there. It's odd to me that we need so many channels. So I would say find one that works for you, and I'll meet you there. Of course, for those of you who live here in Encinitas, California, I do host weekly classes in person, sound healing and breathwork sessions right here in SoCal. So I would say just check my website at danademarayoga.com and you'll be able to find all the info you need. Nice little calendar there. Sometimes we practice on the bluff. Sometimes we're practicing at different locations in and around Encinitas and La Costa, but I would love to see you somewhere on this path. Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're invited to learn and listen with me. Take a moment to ground in, breathe, and give yourself a moment of stillness. I want to say thank you to Beautiful Chorus for this beautiful intro. It's called The Opening. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, everyone. Have a beautiful day. Namaste.
Hey there. Thank you so much for tuning in. I have been getting a lot of requests from people to go back to the beginning. And by going back to the beginning, what I'm hearing from people is they want to understand the layers of this practice of yoga. And it's so funny to me because when I think about soul medicine, of course, for me personally, yoga is at this practice of yoga is at the very base of all of it. It was the thing that really woke me up and continues to wake me up every day. I feel like I am awake. I'm like, oh my God, I totally get it. And then something happens in my life and I get this reflection and I think to myself, are you kidding? I thought I already figured that out. And nope. Not so much, Miss Tamara. So I want to share with you something really simple. And for those of you who don't practice yoga, or maybe you've only practiced asana, this will be enlightening, I think. Those of you who come to my class, you hear me say often, right? Here you are in the room practicing asana. It's only 1/8 of the practice. And I've had a few people ask me, well, what do you really mean? What do you really mean 1/8 of the practice? I don't get it. Well, we're going to just talk for a second about the eight limbs of yoga. Okay. Now, the eight limbs of yoga is, believed to be these eight processes or these eight portions of this practice that, have been around for thousands and thousands of years, and it's written in the Yoga Sutras. And first of all, the Yoga Sutras are the word sutra means thread, right? So as we read the Yoga Sutras, we're reading the Yoga Sutras in order because each one has to weave its way back to the one before and connect to the one after. And so when we talk about this classic text of the Yoga Sutras, yoga is technically defined as liberation of the observer by cultivating mind control, really allowing ourselves to cultivate a sense of mastering the mind, contemplating how much our mind chatters and chatters and chatters, and how we can master the mind stuff through so many different practices. Okay. And it's important to understand because I feel like sometimes movement works, asana, sometimes breath works, and sometimes meditation works. And I think the more tools that we have to slow the mind down and actually notice the observer, like who is thinking that thought is the question, or why is this reflection happening for me? That's really the bigger question. Why is this happening for me? Once we can get into that state of mind, or some coaches will call it a mindset, we can see how our life really makes sense. And in this practice of yoga, of course, the asana is a huge part of it. And yoga asana has been streamlined and capitalized on, and it's everywhere, and I say, yay, and allow yourself to step on to your mat wherever you are, whatever comes up for you, just step on it. Don't worry about where you are. If you need to know more, if you need to know less, like wherever you are is perfect. And I want to share with you the eight limbs of yoga because I feel like the eight limbs are super powerful. So, eight limbs of yoga, according to the Yoga Sutras, are the first one is it's called yamas, and the yamas is really they're defined as ethical principles, guiding forces in our life that coincide to how we interact with the world around us. Okay, and I'll do a whole podcast on the yamas and the niyamas, but they are ahimsa, satya, asteya, brahmacharya, and aparigraha. Okay, and that has to do with it has to do with yamas defined really is abstinence. So allowing ourselves to abstain from, being violent, telling lies, stealing, being lustful with our life, and grasping things, right? So we want to not do those things when we talk about the yamas. And then the second of the eight limbs are the niyamas. And the niyamas are how we kind of treat ourselves and observe ourselves and have an attitude toward ourselves, right? And the five niyamas are saucha, santosha, tapas, swadhyaya, and ishvara pranidhana. Okay, so this is all about purity of mind, cleanliness, contentment, our passion for life, our ability to be able to discipline ourselves, studying sacred texts, and also really allowing ourselves to connect with that God force within us. And then, so those are the first two, yamas and niyamas. Okay, so you have the yamas and the niyamas, it's one and two. And then the third bit of the eight limbs of yoga is asana. And the asana is what most of us are familiar with, right? So the asana is defined in the Yoga Sutras as a steady, comfortable pose where you can maintain continuity of breath. I love this definition, especially two things. One is when I'm sharing a yoga practice and I see people literally holding their breath, I'm like, you're not in yoga, you're not in a posture, you're in struggle. And then the other thing that I really like to do when I think about asana or postures is the posturing in our life, right? So, are we maintaining a steady, comfortable posturing in life, right? While we're maintaining continuity of breath. Ooh. Right? So, that asana, so easy, warrior two, nobody's talking to you. You can just hold the pose, not a big deal. But can you maintain that steady posture, maintaining continuity of breath when you're stressed or when you're angry or when you're triggered? Like, that's really what the asana is for, is to prime you to be able to hold that pose and control the mind. Remember, this is all liberation of the mind through all these different avenues to be able to observe yourself. Like, what a beautiful thing, right? So that's number three. Okay. Number four is pranayama, breathing exercises. Pranayama is breath. Pranayama, same thing. This is controlling the breath. This is I like to say disciplining instead of controlling, disciplining the breath. It's where we use certain breathing techniques to be able to strengthen, cleanse, calm the nervous system, increasing our vitality. Creating a sense of focus, clarity. There's all these different breath practices that allow us to, again, be free from the mind stuff. Remember, that is the number one focus in this practice of yoga, is to be free and liberated from the mind chatter. And the next one is pratyahara. So pratyahara is sensory withdrawal, which I love. So this, it occurs during meditation sometimes, but one of the eight limbs is actually meditation, right? So, pratyahara is really when you bring your focus inward and you're no longer distracted by outside events, right? So you can, move beyond habitual pattern behaviors. You can move beyond ways of thinking. You're just unaware of things going on around you, and you're just single point focus. And sensory withdrawal, I think, is really simple when we're in a on top of a mountain, or we're in a room on our own, or we're meditating in our cushion when there's nothing distracting us. But again, we want to be able to hold that posturing when we move out into the world, so we're not so reactionary or reactive to the world. We become part of the world, but we're not reacting to it. Really, really powerful practice. And then the next one is concentration. So Dharana is training the mind, it's concentration, training the mind to focus. So focus on one thing at a time. Okay. And I love this because, you know, I can remember being honored and respected for being able to multitask. Wow, look at you. You can multitask, right? Multitasking is probably, I mean, sometimes it's necessary, obviously. We all know that, but it's probably one of the worst things for us because we don't have that single point focus. So concentration, super important. Number seven is dhyana, meditation. Meditation is a practice where we are in a constant observation of the mind, right? So I love when I go to meditation, or even when I move people through a meditation, the first thing we like to do is we like to say to people, we want you to clear your mind, right? So here's something that I've been saying instead. You may never clear your mind. You may always have thoughts running through the mind. You may never clear your mind. However, you can start to allow these pieces of distraction, right? The thoughts, the ruminations, the outside noises, you know, whatever, you can allow it to be part of your practice. It comes in, the mind sees it, and then it goes out. The emotion comes in, you feel it, and then it goes out, right? So allowing yourself to have that uninterrupted flow of concentration so that you can allow yourself to experience mental clarity or, you know, optimal health, or maybe you're asking for guidance. It's your meditation practice. And, you know, sometimes I think it's challenging. We sit on a meditation cushion and we say to ourselves, well, gosh, I really, you know, I'd really like to clear my mind. And sometimes it's just unattainable. So instead, just allowing yourself to observe the thoughts, observe the things going on, and just letting them go. Because they're here's one thing I know for true, for sure, they're going to come back. The thoughts are going to come back. They always do. 90,000 thoughts a day. And then we've got number eight, which is samadhi. So this is enlightenment. This is the ultimate goal, quote unquote, the goal of the eight limbs of yoga. It's a state of peace and completion, awareness, compassion, without attachment, with complete detachment of everything. And, you know, it's one of those things I feel when we talk about samadhi or we talk about enlightenment, it's this thing that we strive for. And I remember my teacher, Sean Korn, and I quote her on this a lot in one of the trainings I took with her years ago. And she said, you know, I don't believe enlightenment is attainable. I think it's fleeting. I think it's one of those things where you get to, you feel that sense of enlightenment where you're like, oh my gosh, I'm one with the universe. I can hear that tree breathing. I can feel the wind. I can, you know, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm so enlightened. And then the ego immediately, the second that you say, oh, I feel so enlightened, or I feel I am enlightened, you're totally not, because you're in your ego and now you have fallen out of it. So I feel like there are states and pieces that come through in our life. I know for me, I can feel samadhi in a moment, you know, when I'm talking to my daughters and they say something that's so profound, and I get that little like massive feeling of unconditional love, or just like, wow, how did you know that sort of feeling? Or we might feel it when we're with certain people or in certain places in, you know, on traveling, when we aren't attached to our devices and we feel that sense of oneness with the universe, you know? So I would say, you know, don't let it be your goal per se. Let it be an intention for you to experience a sense of enlightenment in little, even if it's in little snippets, you know, even if it's in little teeny tiny pieces, because to be liberated from the mind stuff, is such a huge ask. And then to go all the way to the other spectrum of that and recognize that you are one with the universe, is a big, big leap. But this practice, one step at a time, maybe one day it's asana, maybe one day it's breath, maybe one day it's meditation, you know, whatever it is, just remember that, you know, this life we were meant to feel. That's why we have a body. And so allow yourself to feel all the things and tune out that mind when you get a chance. So I want to say thank you to those of you who have sent me little notes and said, hey, why do you say that asana is 1/8 of the practice? I don't understand. Well, that's why. This is why there's eight limbs of yoga, and it's a powerful, powerful practice. And choose your limb on whatever day you need. Grab whatever you need. Thank you so much, and I hope this was helpful. If you ever have a request or anything that you want me to talk about on this podcast, or if you have somebody you want me to interview, please feel free to reach out. Happy to listen to what you want. Have such a beautiful day. Namaste.